All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. So I just got off a cool interview with Bob Griswold over there on his new podcast, which is displaying on Heroes Nation. So make sure you go over there and check that out. Give Bob some love. I want to go over a few things today. There are some things that are greatly, greatly upsetting me that the FBI is doing once again. Recently, this article is coming to us from the Gateway Pundit. Let me pull it up. Oh, man, here we go. Biden's America, wife of pro-life activist, films heavily armed FBI agents who arrested her husband at home. She shot a video over it. So this is what the article goes in to say, and then I'm going to give some commentary on it. This is Joe Biden's America, a country home in Tennessee on a sunny autumn morn, decorated for the fall season with heavily armed FBI agents swarming the property while a wife is heard begging for answers as Biden's Gestapo takes her husband away for being pro-life. Okay. So you can continue to read the rest of this. Here's the important part. The important part is that I have personally been a part of numerous hundreds of arrests for people who were blocking the pathway during a protest of a federal building. So obviously for me being a former federal law enforcement, that would be a misdemeanor of a crime. That is not something that I would go and get warrants for. That's not something that I would go and take a tactical team to. The FBI seems to be going guns out everywhere they're going to now for Christians. Christians. On Wednesday, the FBI arrested 11 pro-life activists for a peaceful protest at an abortion clinic that took place over a year ago. The 11 pro-life activists face up to 11 years in prison and $250,000 in fines. Now, why are they facing fines for something that is considered a misdemeanor? No one was arrested during this protest. There was no property damage during this protest. There's no aggravated assaults. I haven't found anything on this case. But yet, here I am looking at my tax dollars at work in the FBI arresting people. And the only thing I could think of is that this is coming from the Department of Justice. This is obviously coming from the Department of Justice, and this is obviously retaliatory from the Biden administration, who is weaponizing the FBI. Here's what I want to say about that. I can't tell you how many different times we have cited and released people from Antifa who were demonstrating, blocking ambulances, even during medical emergencies, who were demonstrating, blocking federal employees going in and out of federal buildings. Most time, it was almost always immigration related. One time was the Keystone Pipeline protest that happened in Philadelphia. I think that was 2014. That was a pretty good protest. I think we arrested 70 people that day, all of them for blocking the entrance. We gave them three verbal warnings, as what you're supposed to. We gave them three verbal warnings. We gave them a final verbal warning, and it's all canned speech. It's all drawn out speech. And the final verbal warning was done on a bullhorn, so it was loud and everybody could hear. And guess what? They had people that were agreeing to be arrested that day. You know how this took place? Let me tell you how this took place. We walked up, because I think I actually made the first arrest. I walked up, and I think the first lady was probably 70 years old. I said, "Ma'am, okay, you're under arrest." She said, "Okay." And she turned around. I put handcuffs on her, quickly walked her inside the federal building, did a cursory pat down of her body. And, you know, she had already been sanitized by her group. She didn't have anything on her except for, I think, like an ID. She had no phone. She had no wallet. She was prepared to be arrested and processed and then immediately released. Because for a freaking misdemeanor that it is, it's a fine. And it's a stupid fine. It's like a $400 or $500 fine. Anyways. What are you doing, FBI? What in the hell are you doing? And for all you agents who work out there, why are you going through with this? This type of stuff is part of the reason why I got out. This type of stuff is part of the reason why I'm so disgusted with the way our government has turned out. I mean, as I'm looking at the pictures of these people that have been arrested, I mean, they're meemaws and pawpaws. And, you know, it's like, were they really such a threat to you that you needed to take your freaking M4 out? And so, as you can see, these are some of the people that were arrested. I mean, is that really the threat? Seriously? This guy right here, this lady, these gentlemen, you know, this young lady right here, this is really the threat to you? Who was filling our FBI agents' heads filled full of this nonsense that the actual threat comes from the Christian groups, the most peaceful people that are out there? You know, and I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised at all, because this is what happens when you just do as you're told. And this is what happens when you're part of the good old boy society and you just want your promotion, you want your leap. I know about your leap. Your law enforcement advance pay. You get 25% of your paycheck every year plus your paycheck. So, you know, I think like the average GS-13 FBI agent's probably making about 120. You get paid a lot of money and you get good law enforcement retirement benefits if you just look the other way, go with the game plan, don't make waves, do as the bosses tell you. That is not serving and protecting. That's not what we signed up for. Sure as hell ain't what I signed up for. At least in Homeland Security, we were a little different. At least in where I worked, you had to be a veteran to be in. There were a few people who fell through those cracks, but for the most part, you had to be a veteran to be in. And that means you had to have served time overseas. So you know what that gave us? That gave us all a sense of patriotism. That gave us all a sense of awareness that what we were doing meant something, stood for something, that we still stood for something. That we were still, we still had an oath to commit to. We never put the sword and the shield down. But for many of these people within the FBI coming right out of their Ivy League schools or, you know, wherever it is that they're getting them from, especially for those of you who are former cops who have street, you know, level experience or coming out of the military and you have military experience and you're going along with this, that's very questionable behavior. Very, very questionable behavior. And I hope that these families sue the ever-living hell out of you, FBI, and everyone that you have demonized, that you have gone after because of this godforsaken government. You used to be one of the most trusted law enforcement agencies in the land. We relied upon you, FBI. We relied upon you to solve unsolved murders, to catch the kidnappers and the cartel and the terrorists. We expected you. We demanded from you the best, and you always gave us the best. And now what are you giving us? FBI, you should be ashamed of yourself, and every FBI agent that is worth his or her salt, I feel sorry for you and the predicament that you're in, but here's my best laid advice for you. The money's not worth it. It's not worth the loss of your integrity. Isn't that y'all saying honor, courage, commitment, integrity, and all that crap? Yeah, your courage is really, really high right now. How many Antifa guys did you still not arrest? That's a really good one I'd like to know. How many different times did we bring up individuals who had explosive ordnance on them that you let go? How many times did we have attacks on officers through pyrotechnics or through a hard object that could potentially become lethal, and they were let go that night, not prosecuted by the Department of Justice? Ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, and I'm speaking to you, FBI, you're going to have to make the moral, ethical decision of I am either doing the right thing and quitting, or I'm going to continue to do the wrong thing and bury my head in my work and ignore what's going on, or just do as I'm told. That's my personal view in it. If you worked for the FBI, you can go work anywhere. You don't have to stay there. I strongly am convinced it's not the safest place to work. Do the right thing. Get your heads out of your asses. Stop harassing people. We're not the enemy. You still think that everyone who showed up for January 6th is the freaking enemy, though half of it was orchestrated, and most of you know it. Though most of it has been proved to have been orchestrated, half of you deny it. All because you look the other way, because you're told to, because the bosses still pay the paychecks. Most of you should be completely ashamed of yourselves for your actions or your inability to stand up to the hierarchy and tell them, no, we're not going to serve this warrant. Go serve it yourself. All right, moving on. I wanted to talk about something else besides the FBI, who can do nothing more than wrong lately. I really do hope that you one day decide to polish the badge, FBI, and not tarnish it every chance you get. So let's talk about something. Oh, gosh. And these are some things that I don't hear them being talked about very much, but they very much disturb me. Let's talk about the threat from Russia. What is the real threat that Russia could impose upon America? Why the Belgorod should never be attacked by NATO allies, the Belgorod submarines. The reason why is because they carry within it 800 megatons of nuclear energy. That is equivalent to 16 Tsar bombs, the Tsar Bomba, the biggest bomb ever exploded in this planet. And an explosion of which would result in a tsunami 300,000 feet high, filled with radioactive water, smashing into coastal cities in Europe and in the United States. Not only, let's stay right here for a second. not only would or could the Belgorod do that, but it would kill all of our fisheries that are off coast. It would kill all of our fisheries that are inland. That same radioactive water would then be pushed back into our freshwater rivers and streams, polluting that, polluting the ground and destroying whatever crops. So, by the way, you're probably not going to walk into those cities for another 20 years. So every military base, every naval port that we have, every airfield, we've lost now. You talk about catastrophic damage just on an infrastructure level. Oh, by the way, we haven't even talked about human life or animal life. What about the cattle? What about the ability for all of our processing plants to make food? Most of them are on the coast, the West Coast or the East Coast. That's one way that they could effectively knock America off of the playing field. And here's the threat to that. Could you imagine that one of these missiles goes off and just waylays, let's say, San Francisco and the Bay Area? Oh, man. And that was just a warning shot to follow up with, if you retaliate at all, there will be a subsequent amount of several more missiles going off on now the West Coast and the East Coast and the Gulf. I think Joe Biden would cower in fear underneath Kamala Harris's desk. I don't think they'd do anything. I think they would immediately ask for parley, come to some sort of agreement. These people don't know what to do with that type of a weapon or that type of a threat because we don't have it. You know, they say that we can drop the rod of God from one of the, was it the Thor satellites? If we have that technology, why isn't Putin afraid of it? If we have that type of technology, why are we using it? I've heard nothing from our people about the types of technology and weapons that we could use against Vladimir Putin, except what? Call him bad names. Try and get them removed from office. Yeah, that's working well, isn't it? So what are we Americans to do? You know, you talk about prepping. How do you prepare for that? How do you prepare for a tidal wave, a radioactive tidal wave that will completely go over and encapsulate any tower, any skyscraper that we have on any coast? I can't fathom, honestly, that type of destruction, but it would remind me of the days of Noah. There is no coming back from that. There's no surviving that. The amount of human death alone would be in the tens of millions in this country. Would force itself to its knees. If not, the military would then go into a widespread attack against Russia, which then Russia and their allies, which I'm willing to bet they have more allies than we have friends right now, thanks to Joe Biden, would attack us, overwhelm us, decapitate the snake, and then slowly cut us apart. That's what I would do. That's what I would do with an unruly America, with a completely senile leader. You know, we joke about, Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-un and how crazy those two were or are. Firing off rockets here and there, like the little fat kid who, you know, always gets disrespected and ignored in his in his neighborhood and he just fires off bottle rockets randomly. That's kind of what I think Kim Jong-un is. But imagine if instead of threatening all the time, if he just aimed one of those missiles right at Seoul and just wiped Seoul off the map, along with one of the biggest army bases in the world. It doesn't matter how many men and women and children are innocent in North Korea. North Korea would be a smoldering pile of glowing rocks for the next 1,000 years because of what America would do to it. Do you not think other nations have that capability or the intent to use it? Everybody paints Vladimir Putin as the bad guy. They always say, well, he's KGB. He was a killer. He was everything that the propaganda artists in America have always told you he was as well. I've always paid very close attention to Vladimir Putin because he's an enigma of a man. He's one of the most powerful men in the world. And because I always saw, and I have friends that are Russian that I served in the Marine Corps with, who would tell you some funny Russian stories, but they sound no different than ours. But I always found that there was a similarity that they were a Christian nation trying to be westernized, and we weren't allowing that as a nation. Our geopolitics would not allow it. But Vladimir Putin, the moment that man came on the scene, right after Khrushchev, you know, he wanted to continue to sign the nuclear peace deals, the disarmaments. We're the ones who broke that off. It was George Bush Jr. who broke off the nuclear missile disarmament stuff. And we started to recreate them again. We are pushing the Russian bear into a corner. And eventually, the Russian bear will not swat and growl. The Russian bear will eventually be forced to capitulate or destroy the thing that is trying to destroy it. What would we do? Do you ever think if the roles were reversed? If the roles were reversed and Russia said that we could not have Guam, we could not have Puerto Rico, we could not have the Samoan Islands or the Virgin Islands, we couldn't have Hawaii, and they all wanted to gain their own statesmanship. They all wanted to be separated. They all wanted to be part of Russia, and we wouldn't allow it. And Russia and their allies started to push themselves in on us. Russia and their allies detonated our two pipelines. Russia and their allies sanctioned us to the point that the American dollar was worth as much as the ruble. What do you think the American military would do? What do you think our Congress would declare? We'd declare war probably before even a pipeline was destroyed. That's how haughty we are as a stiff-necked, hard-faced people. We will be destroyed because of our own hubris. Because the people within our elements of power, within our government, trust in their own strength. They do not have a faith in God, do not trust in the wisdom and the love and the peace and serenity and the power of an almighty God. And because of that, they want to be their own masters. They want to be masters of men instead of fishers of them. So they lead by the heart, not with the head. And this corruption of the heart is part of the reason why our government has gone the way it has. So why do you think they attack Christians? I don't see the Buddhists being rounded up. I don't see the Muslims being rounded up. Hey, guess who's not pro-abortion? The Muslims. or the Mexican-American families. They're not pro-abortion. They attack two groups of people, two subgroups of people. They attack African-Americans, and they continuously pursue African-Americans and making them live in a fear-based culture. A good friend of mine named AJ, me and him once spoke about the fear-based culture that the average African-American man lives in America, and it's all government propaganda for the most part. It's effective. It's an effective way of controlling people, making them scared of their government and pointing at another group of people and saying, there's your problem because they're racist, because they're X, Y, and Z. Hate them and focus all your energy on them. And everything that we're going to do to you is bad for you, but we're the only group that's here for you. Because they would say it so many times that this group of people within the African-American community and their leaders started to believe it. You know who didn't believe it? Martin Luther King didn't believe it. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't believe it. He wouldn't have gone along with this. This whole Black Lives Matter, the trans activist movements. The pedophilia that's coming into this nation. These people wouldn't have put up with that. Most of those people were God-fearing people, though. I think just like within the white communities in America, the better half of white communities in America, that also the better half of black communities in America have turned their backs on God. And that's the reason why both communities have turned into godless heathens. On one side, you have rampant drugs. You have an escalation of violence within the inner cities. Move out to the suburbs where it's supposed to be peaceful. No, they're not. It's 50-year-old men pretending to be 6-year-old girls, 18-year-old women pretending to be boys and taking testosterone and trying to grow a beard, chopping their breasts off. You have men that are within the age and size of being NFL linebackers pretending to be women. Oh, by the way, it's spread throughout church, spread throughout your local government, your state government, your federal government, your freaking military, your law enforcement now, God forbid. What about your schools? Do any of you care? Do you care at all about your children? You really want the Satanist down the street who's been charged with pedophile crimes already, who dresses up as some drag queen horror show, to now go into a strip dance in front of your children? If your children are 18 and you want to go watch it, have fun. But for bringing children under the age of 10 to these shows, this is strip club 18 plus and up behavior, and you're bringing these children and exposing them. I mean, like, I almost want to say it's a crime. In Dallas recently, they had one of these going on, and the stupid parents, guess what the majority, I want to say 90% of the majority of them are, they're all white parents, suburbanite slob, leftist, idiot people. Oh, look, we're going to go and support this guy's new behavior. Oh, look, honey, he's doing the spread eagle in front of little Timmy and Susie. Nobody cares. They just all sit there and act like it's all fun. Yeah, we'll go to Chuck E. Cheese after. We'll go play mini golf after. And then these same people will try and convince their children to be another gender. Like, if that's a possibility, you can't be another gender. You are as God made you. Period. You know what happens at the coroner's office when you die? you're a male or you're a female. Period. Guess how they check. Yeah, you'd be correct. They check the anatomy or they draw blood one way or another. XX or XY will know. But see, I was speaking with someone recently. It might have been Bob Griswold, but recently I was speaking with someone and I said, what happened to all the intellectuals? What happened to all these men of science, these men of renown, these intelligent men and women who give us all these life-saving devices? They think of ways to get us beyond the stars. They come up with mathematics that even calculators have problems keeping up with. But yet those same people are going to be confused enough to say, little Timmy says he wants to be Susie today. I'm so proud. Folks, you are given over to a strong delusion. You're drinking from the cup of God and from the cup of Satan. You cannot do both. You cannot serve both masters. And if you walk in a double-minded path, you're going to destroy yourself and everything around you and everything you've ever built and everything you've ever stood for. Maybe you've never stood for nothing, but your children think you do. Your children watch you. They watch everything you do. Mine do. I got 4, soon to be 5 kids. Everything daddy does and says, they will parrot. They will replicate, sometimes at the most embarrassing moments of my life. My wife and I have this conversation all the time. And I thank God for having a godly woman. If we ever came across a scenario when prophecy hits the fan, we are not going to be in a city, a suburb, not that we are anyways, but we will never move to any one of these places, no matter if they were handing out 5-pound sticks of gold bars along with freaking Doritos and Dr. Peppers. We're not coming, because no matter how much peace and safety that they say they have, these people who cry peace and safety all the time, peace and safety, fair and equity, sudden destruction will come. And sudden destruction will come to this government. Keep poking your finger into the eye of God and watch what happens. Many times throughout the Bible, we are told story after story of how many different times Israel was destroyed, taken over, conquered, sold into slavery, land stolen from them. They had to have an entire century of war just to win it back after winning back God's favor, all because they lost God's favor, all because they denied God, they denied his laws, they denied his commandments, they worshiped false gods, men were mingling with men, and women were mingling with women. I'm reading in Romans currently, and this is what I was studying last night. These people, they call good evil and evil good. And then they sit here and they say, I can't believe Russia would use nukes in Ukraine. If Russia is a Christian nation led by men who are Christian, even if their orthodoxy is different than ours, and that is actually their belief system, then you know what they would look upon with the United States? They would look upon a reprobate nation that is posing as an antichrist kingdom. And you know what they would probably think? We had it coming. Because we are sure not a reflection of the apple of God's eye. We are sure not a reflection of a covenant that God wanted to keep with his people. We have lost that as a nation. We've lost that. We've lost that protection. That's not here anymore. Individually, be saved. Be washed again in the blood of Jesus Christ if you need to. Now's not the time to be playing games with God. Now's the time to be getting right. Let's go back to this. Belgorod. Belgorod carries 800 megatons of nuclear energy. That's a nation-destroying weapon. And we don't know how many of them they have. We know that at least one of them has submerged, and we've lost track of it. Great. Good job, America. Way to go. And what do you expect when we go back into war? President Biden? Are you going to pull all of us veterans who actually came out of a combative tour of duty? Are you going to pull all of us old injured warriors out? That's the thing that everybody's worried about right now. It's the draft. Will they draft us? If you're a veteran, trust me, you've thought about it. I'm well beyond my contract, my 8 years. But I think in my mind all the time, if we got into World War, I probably can't run a 3 mile. I probably can't run 3 miles anymore, especially under 24 minutes. I don't know about my shoulder, but I may be able to do 20 pull-ups. I may be able to get 100 crunches. But I am not combat effective in the way that the Marine Corps needs young men and young women now. Most of us vets aren't. What we have is tenacity, toughness, and the willingness to not care anymore. That's what makes us probably a little bit more dangerous than those athletic younger people. But, you know, it just reminds me of, you know, World War II, when people were, you know, going into World War II, where the guys in World War I serving their sentence in the military, were they thinking, oh, God, you think they'll call us back in? Well, they did. They most certainly did. But you know the difference between World War I and World War II, just like the Civil War, just like the Revolutionary War, is that from the age of 14 to 16, men were cheating and lying their way through ASVABs and whatever type of government documentation they needed to falsify their age, just to serve because of the patriotic need that was within them. You think America still has that? You think we still have that type of patriotism? Some of us might. But I think I'm a far more effective tool back home than being employed in another man's war again. I'm not insensitive to the pain and distraught of the Ukrainians. I don't wish war for those people, not the innocent. I don't wish war for Russia either. Probably because I've already experienced it and I don't want it again. I especially don't want it here. I don't want it for my children. I assure you, when war does come to America, you will be fighting it at your doorstep. It won't be in some far distant field like that great quote from Patriot. It'll be in your cities. It'll be in your suburbs. It'll be out in your pastures, out in your fields. If you've never been part of a city fight, wait for that one. That'll change your mood. If you've never walked through a goat path and had to stumble upon some mines. You know, we don't think about how dangerous this can get, but we have absolute freaking lunatics in this country waiting for war to start. And that's on the political left and the political right. I call them both extremists. These people who are just itching for war in this country, most of them have never experienced it. So they know not what they ask for. They know not the depravity of man. Most of these people who have never picked up a sword in their life don't even know how to swing it. But yet, they all want to look cool. They all got their cool guy gear and their cool guy guns. They all got their stupid stickers all over their trucks. We'll see how patriotic you are the first time the biological weapons are released. We'll see how patriotic you are when a 3,000-foot tsunami comes crashing down as you're watching on Fox News, thinking, is my city next? We'll see how patriotic you are then. Understand, your patriotism does not make you bulletproof. Doesn't make you survival proof. I think right now, one of the things that we should be turning to inwardly, we should be turning to God. We should be turning to our Lord. We should be asking for justice to be done and for righteousness to be fulfilled and for protection for ourselves and for our families. There's more people that need to be on their knees praying right now than going out to Cabela's and to Bass Pro Shops and Walmart and Academy and wherever else it is that you go and you get all your preps from and buying bullets and guns and MREs and cool knives and 5'11 pants. That stuff's not going to save you from VX gas. It's not going to save you from sarin gas. 90% of you who think a civil war is a good thing, you have no idea the level of carnage our own government could use on us. You have no idea. If you don't know what VX gas is, go ahead and look that one up. Or Tobin. That's a fun one. Everybody's worried about the physical war. They're going to get in some glorious firefight. Just wait till you melt. You have no idea about chemical weapons. But yet people want war. They think it's cool. They think it's fun. It's a hip thing to talk about. Everybody in the comment sections are talking about it. 99% of you freaking keyboard warriors have no idea what you're talking about. You've never seen dead kids. You've never smelled burning bodies. You've never had parents hand over their dead children into your arms. You have no idea what you're asking for. And neither does this government. But there's more ways that Russia could kill us than just the Belgorod. Let's review some things that they've said before. In the event of World War III, got a little emotional there for a second, sorry. In the event of World War III, the Poseidon stealth torpedo will be remotely placed near the Cascadia subduction zone and the San Andreas Fault to blast open the fault line plates. Russia also planned to nuke and detonate the supervolcano caldera in Yellowstone. And that was a threat from Konstantin Sivkov. I believe he was an admiral. Oh, another threat that if they wanted to pursue, Russia also has the option of melting the Antarctic ice with the RS-28 Sarmat within hours of operation and raising the sea level by 200 feet, sinking all coastal cities of the United States and 60% of Europe. Yet we toss threats like if they're nothing. Andy Ngo is going to be on the show here soon. World famous independent reporter. One of the guys who really pioneered infiltrating Antifa and tremendously helped law enforcement. His job, his material, risking his life, tremendously helped us in our operations in Portland against the domestic terrorist group called Antifa. And so I was lucky enough to get Mr. Ngo in some email chatter, and we're hopefully going to be doing a program next week, God willing. And in that, we have a lot of questions for each other. I have a lot of time there, and he has a lot of time there. So that should be a very entertaining and thrilling show. But I follow his channel on YouTube, and I suggest everyone go to YouTube and subscribe to his channel. Helps us to support him and what he does. But recently, there was a Antifa group that attacked a Portland business, attacked an independent Portland coffee shop. Go figure. Probably for no great reason except for the fact that supposedly they were going to have a coffee with a cop day, trying to broach that bubble that has increased in between the civilian populace and law enforcement. This would be one of the places where we would go and hang out at off duty because we knew it was law enforcement safe and friendly. Sometimes we'd even show up there on duty because you didn't go to Starbucks downtown Portland because you had no idea what they were about to do to your to your coffee. There was actually a place, God, I can't remember what street it was, but it was right on the river by one of the I think it was one of the Marriotts that's on the river, and we went to this little what do you call it? Some little hamburger place. I can't remember the name of it. And, you know, we're in uniform, obviously. We're not very welcomed. And this freaking dude, whatever he was trying to be that day, I don't know. Hair was all different colors and he had makeup on. I went up and said, yeah, I just, you know, want a cheeseburger and fries and a drink. And he refused to take my order. Now, here I am, in uniform, trying to police your streets, trying to help, you know, protect the area that you're in, refuses service. Said, okay, can I speak to your manager? Manager, and I'm very polite. Manager comes over, same smirky comment. And I said, listen, I just want a hamburger, and I'll leave. I won't stay. I don't want to bother you people. You don't want to bother me. So they proceed to make my hamburger, and I watched like a hawk as they did it, because I don't trust a single soul working in there. And the same guy, whatever he was trying to be, fairy tale creature, when he put my hamburger into the bag and the fries, he literally just, you know how fries come in like a little box? He just took it and dumped that into the bag and dropped the box, dropped the hamburger, wrinkled it all up so that he smashed the hamburger, held his hand straight in front of me, and then dropped it. And it hit the ground. I've already paid for this, by the way. hit the ground right in front of my feet. And as I'm looking, that intensity that I do my best to suppress comes out. I remember staring at this guy, thinking only the worst of thoughts, right? Picked up my bag. I said, thank you very much for making my hamburger, because he didn't want to do it. And I walked out. Now, there was probably about 20 other guys with me that day because we were on a certain operation. And still, even with all the cops present, that was still the attitude. And that has been my experience in Portland, downtown Portland, for the most part. Outside of Portland, you know, especially in certain parts of Vancouver, the Washington area, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. People are extremely nice. So I don't look upon all of Oregon with the same light of disgust that I do Portland. But for you people that are there in Portland, man, y'all got to do something. You can't let these people terrorize you for years to come. So I left a comment on Andy Ngo's YouTube channel about this latest video. It's titled "Antifa Believed to Be Behind Attack on Portland Indigenous Owned Cafe." So I left a comment that said, hey, you know, when I was a former DHS Leo, we used to frequent places like this. You guys got to do something. You got to stop this. So this random person said, what would you recommend specifically? Wait day and night defending their shops? Attack Antifa on site? What specifically? Okay. So I don't know who left this comment, but I'm gonna address you right now, because I feel you're a young, stupid person who obviously is not thinking very well. What are you supposed to do? Let's talk about the elephant in the room. What are you supposed to do when law enforcement doesn't protect you? What do you do when your mayor says, no, I side with the terrorists? What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to become a vigilante? Huh? Should you post up a security guard that you can't pay for in your coffee shop? Should you start sleeping in your coffee shop at night, waiting for the would-be terrorists to come? I don't have a good answer for you. But I can tell you, me personally, if this was the way that I was going to be treated, my commerce within my city was not going to back me up, was not going to support me. Law enforcement was not going to support me. The DA told me that more or less I could screw off. The mayor said, I support the terrorists. I'm going to pack up my stuff and I'm going to leave. And that's what probably half of the businesses in downtown Portland, which is a gorgeous area, has done. So, what specifically are you supposed to do? Pray about it. Let God sprinkle a little bit of thought and planning on that, because I'm not going to give you the proper answer. I'm going to give you the answer from my heart. I want to follow the law of God and be righteous, but I also fall slave to the law of sin. So within my heart, I would tell you, it's time to become a vigilante and protect your own stuff. But knowing what I know, that government is just willing and waiting for people to act that way so that they could criminally prosecute them, I would tell you to take your family out of the schools, to take yourself out of these democratic demagogues, and get away from there as far away as possible. If you're in a corrupt police department, leave it. If you're in a corrupt fire department, leave it. If you're in a corrupt federal agency, leave it. It's not worth the repercussions of staying in and getting in too deep. Because these people are digging a hole to put your coffin in, along with everyone else who's not willing to crawl out of that hole. And they won't go down with you. We have so many actual threats on our hands, and yet we sit here and we bicker amongst ourselves. Pray. That's what I would tell you to do. Pray. Ask God to deliver you from wherever you're at. May you not be stuck there anymore. I don't have a good answer for many people. I really don't. I don't have a good answer because there isn't a good answer. America, as it was, is not coming back. We're not going to vote our way back into patriotism pre-9/11. We're not going back there. The dollar's not going to make a rebound. They're going to continue to put insects and replacement of your meat. They're going to continue to sell off our oil and not intake enough to sustain America. That's why we're in Venezuela now, begging and pleading for their oil. Did you know that we're buying natural gas from India? Russia sells India natural gas, LNG. And now we're buying natural gas from India. And they're selling it to us for twice the amount. We could drill now. We could open up the valves now. But these people, they want the new Green Deal. Except they lie. There'll be nothing new and green except for the green glowing rocks from nuclear fire. Sudden peace, or what is it? Was it peace and safety, and then comes sudden destruction? What's the next trigger event? That's what we'll be watching for this weekend. Every 12 hours, we get something new. I pray for everybody who's listening to me right now that God keeps you in the right place at the right time, never the wrong place at the wrong time. Get ready. Get ready. Stay vigilant. It's not even November yet. I want to leave you with this. It's what I was reading the other day. And I just, I know I'm quite negative here lately, but there's a lot of negative things happening. But John 8, verse 32. For ye shall know the truth, it's Jesus, and the truth shall make you free. Every Christian believer should have a foremost desire to share the truth, to share peace and love, camaraderie, Philadelphia. Don't forget to pray with your kids. Read the Bible with them more than you watch YouTube videos. Get ready. God be with you all. Stay frosty. I'll see you next week.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.